Okay. Welcome to the 2014 second quarter financial report. Very much looking forward to it. Do you want to introduce, go around the room, introduce all the important people that are filling our seats? We all know you.
Mark Gasaway, Clark County Finance Director, and I'll be presenting with Tom Scullion, our Senior Management Analyst.
Okay, and David Medora, County Commissioner, and?
Jed Barnes, County Commissioner. Mike Stout, Greg Tibbetts, County Auditor. Bob Stevens, Budget Manager.
Larry Stafford, Office Services.
Mary Charles, Public Information.
Michelle Schuster, General Counsel.
John Payne, Deputy Treasurer.
Peter Sullivan, Office Assistant.
Mark Wilson, Risk Manager, and other staff.
Jeff Swanson, Economic Development.
Yeah, I'll talk about that.
Thank you, Peter, for the pleasure. Thank you, Bob, for the pleasure.
Okay, very good. Mark, up to you.
Thank you. Today, we're going to do a little bit different format than we have in the past. We have a couple of different things that we want to present along with our quarterly finance report. And if you want to forward to the, we're going to, there we go. First, we're going to start with just a brief recap of our audit results. Then we'll get into our quarterly report. And finally, the last piece we're going to talk about today is our trends report, which is an annual report that we do each year. And so I just wanted to highlight the results of our audit. We just recently completed our audit, had our closing conference with our state auditor's office. And basically, for the bottom line results is that our financial statements, our accountability audit, there's three separate audits that are performed. We received a what's called an unmodified or a clean opinion on our results. And this is significant. We've had an unmodified opinion forever. We've never had anything but an unmodified opinion. And so be able to continue that type of result. And what that means is basically our financial statements have no material misstatement in them. They are materially correct. Our internal controls that we have in place at the county are adequate to help detect any problems that might possibly occur. And we are in compliance with all the requirements that agencies put upon us to handle the grants that we receive. So this is it's a significant achievement, and it needs to be shared countywide. Although the auditor's office spearheads the audit process, we rely on finance managers and individuals throughout the county to help us maintain this compliance. And so I just want to share that results with all the commissioners. I know Commissioner Medora, you're part of, or Commissioner Melky was part of our exit conference. And I think he was, or was Commissioner Medora, you sat in for him?
Yeah. In his place.
And so you were able to listen in on some of that discussion. And sometimes it gets a little bit tedious and a little bit, a little bit technical, but I just want to share that results with all the commissioners and make that information public as well.
I found it very interesting. This is like you went to the dentist and there's no cavities.
Exactly. Exactly. So any questions on that? I just want to make sure that the commissioners are aware that, again, Clark County's financial statements are being properly prepared, are accurate, and have been thoroughly vetted by the state auditor's office. So,
well, my own feedback is that I'm very thankful and appreciative to a job well done, that we're healthy. Everyone is living up to the standard and exceeding it. That reflects not only a confidence that is earning our respect, but also the respect of our citizens. I think it's great news. It says financially, nothing's going to happen bad that's not going to get caught with the systems we have in place.
Great. Okay. If there's no other questions or comments on this, we're going to roll right into our quarterly report, and I'm going to turn some time over to Tom, and he's going to lead us through the first part of this. So.
In the same format that we usually go through in talk to you about getting indicators within the county, starting with building permits.
They've increased, but not very much. It's they're staying pretty much the same as in previous quarters. One thing that was significant is the value of residential buildings increased significantly quarter over quarter. Went from about $320,000 to $345,000 in residential permits. Sorry, just residential. So that was a significant change. And residential seems to be have a bit more growth than commercial. Commercial was actually flat from quarter to quarter. There was 88 permits in both the first and second quarter of the year. So they're doing okay. It is an increase over previous years, obviously coming out of the recession, but it's not back to the levels that it was prior to the recession. So there's still a little ways to go. As far as retail sales tax, we're pretty much on target what the budget office has projected in terms of we are growing a bit. There was some growth in unincorporated and incorporated areas of the county on an annual basis. So for the year ending June 30th, 13 to the year ending June 30th, 14, there was growth in unincorporated areas about 8.7%, incorporated areas about 9.6%. So average overall, I believe, was presented somewhere a little over 9% average for the county. Construction as a percentage of total retail sales has declined a little bit, and this is we said in the agenda basically that there's some mixed signals here, and this is kind of one of them, because construction sales tax sales as a percentage of total sales has been declining for the last two quarters. I believe it was the fourth quarter of 2013, it was around 30% of total sales. It went down to 27.8 in the first quarter, and now it's down to 26.1, which is, those are kind of the mixed signals that go along with the lower housing inventory that I think the budget office also reported last week. The inventory is down to only 3.9 months, which is pretty low. They usually like about 6 months. There's just a couple mixed signals there. It's hard to say what the housing industry is going to do. Home sales are also down, which could be also related to the lower inventory, also related to, you know, the financing rates have gone up, the credit requirements have tightened, things like that. So it's hard to say which one of those is having the most impact on home sales being lower. Medium home price, on the other hand, has gone up. It went up from 235 to 244. So that may have something to say about affordability, although I think our affordability index is still pretty good, according to the Washington Center on Real Estate Research. I believe it's over 100, which means that, and basically the affordability index is people with a median income can afford a median price home. How 100 means exactly people with a median household income can afford a median sale price home. Ours, last time I looked at it, was about 110, so that means it's a little more affordable in that area than some other places might be. As far as employment, which is always a good one, the preliminary rate for June was down. It was 6.4%. And amazingly enough, Washington as a state ranked 10th in the nation for adding jobs in June. The state added 9,100 jobs. Clark County added almost 9% of that, or about 800. So we had a pretty good month. Actually, and it wasn't even as good as the 2 months prior. There was 1,100 and 1,000 added in the, so there was almost 3,000 jobs added just in the second quarter, which goes to the reduction in rate. Again, it's a preliminary rate. It usually gets revised upward. I think it was down from 7.3% the prior month. So it'll probably be revised upward closer to that range. Land use review permits are up slightly. They went from 177 in the first quarter to 185 in the second quarter, and the revenue related to those permits is also up slightly from 125,000 approximately to around 160,000. So that growth is nice. Any questions on any of those indicators? I can't distinguish between those two. It's people in Clark County that went back to work. So it doesn't, don't know. That was not indicated in the report that I reviewed.
So. Did retail sales was up like 9%?
Overall, which I believe matches pretty much the projection the budget office has. So we're kind of on target for that growth, but that was anticipated.
So it's still 9% seems like more than I would expect it to be. What is the typical range we've seen in the past? Are we going to see long-term
We're going to see that in a
trends?
Second. Yeah.
Okay, I guess that'll answer that.
I guess the message behind this, though, is what we're looking at, usually in recovery, you'll see everything start to swing up, and we'll have a lot of positives. We have seen some positives. But then we've seen some things not so positive, and so we're optimistic but still cautious. We're looking like we're heading the right direction in most areas, but when you see things like home sales start to drop off again, because we're so heavily dependent in this area on construction, and again, even those retail sales that you're looking at include those construction increases, that they help buoy some of the needs that we have here at the county. When those drop off, we begin to have problems. We begin to suffer a little bit. So we're trying to be cautious, yet a little bit optimistic. And as we go into this next budget cycle, we're going to try and temper our enthusiasm and make sure that we are at least prudent in how we budget our sales tax, just because of the indicators that you see here. So,
and it kind of reflects what. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. All of those big projects are all rolled into, when we talk about retail sales, we're talking about all of that activity. So when there's larger projects, you see a bump, okay? And, for example, they're building 502 out in Battleground. That's going to add to it. Any of the construction projects that we do as a county adds to that. And so that's one component of retail sales. And we would expect to see an uptick in the second quarter when the construction season gets into...
Right, gets into high gear. So. And we saw a similar bump when they were building on 139th up here, all the construction, where construction is broken down into three components, highway and heavy construction, specialty contractors, and buildings. And during that particular quarter, highway and heavy construction was the biggest increase of all of them. So, and it was mostly related to that particular project, which is pretty huge.
Sure. Okay.
So this is this slide compares Clark County unemployment to the state. We actually had a little bit of a flip-flop in the second quarter. In the first quarter, we were doing fairly well. Clark County unemployment was about 7.5%. Washington overall was 6.9%. But what we do in this graph also is take out the Seattle metropolitan area. And because they're a little bit different from a demographic standpoint than the rest of the state. So when you take out the Seattle metro area, Washington without that was 8.1%, which is actually higher than in the first quarter. In the second quarter, we did a little bit of a flip-flop. The state's done a little bit better. They're currently, as a state, 5.4%. When you take out the metro area, they're 5.8%. And we're still at 6.4%, as I mentioned earlier. So, but we are kind of going in the right direction. So, Let's move on to, this is, we take a view of the eight largest counties and what their sales tax growth has done over the last quarter, and we are actually on the far right in the blue for the current period, where you can see it, you can barely see it, it says 9.2%.
That should actually read 12 months ending June. That's right. That says March on it, but that's actually June. So
we're actually leading all the other counties with the exception of Snohomish. But you can see growth across the board pretty much. This is the sales tax growth split between cities and unincorporated areas. The graph is a little bit goofy because, again, we crossed. We had greater growth in the first quarter, but now the cities had a little bit higher growth in the current quarter. So the numbers are the 8.6 that's on top is really on the red line, which is unincorporated areas. The 9.6 on the bottom is the blue line, which is the cities. But that averages out to the 9.1% that you saw in the previous graph. So it's been fairly consistent as far as our growth. So now,
questions on sales? We're going to move on to general fund. No, general fund. You know, this is where we spend a lot of our time talking because it's really the most important fund as far as being able to contribute to the programs in the county. In the second quarter, we have a pretty good look at where we're at for the year. And the comparison that I want you to look at in the second quarter of this year is what we've brought in to date versus what we've spent to date. In the second quarter, or through the second quarter, we've brought in $67.6 million. Our expenditures have been $70.9 million. Now, some of that is anticipated. Some of those expenditures have been from fund balance for projects that we've identified. The caveat here is we need to continue to be diligent in making sure that our revenues are sufficient to cover our expenses in the year that we have them. I know in the biennial budget, when we budget for use of fund balance, like we have in the last budget, you know, in the back of our minds, we think, well, we're going to be able to cover some of that through expense recovery. One of the things that the finance team is looking at doing, and you know, Bob is kind of leading this effort, is in our next biennial budget, we don't want to have to budget use of fund balance. We want to be able to cover our expenses with our known revenues at the time and be able to use those fund balance. So this is just an indicator of we're still not quite there. If you look through the first 6 months, and there's various reasons because of this, and there are some timing differences. By the end of the year, we're hoping that this evens out and that we don't have to use fund balance for other than those things that we identified for. So this is, you know, a principle that we've worked for a long time here at the county to try and have balance our budget within the biennium, and then use the savings that we have to identify for one-time needs, and that way we're not dependent on that for an ongoing effort. So that's just kind of where we're at right now with the general fund. We are having some interesting relationships and how revenue, some of the revenues that we're receiving, we're slightly up in our property taxes, slightly up in our retail sales taxes, but then we're down in other areas. So they're offsetting each other. Our expenditures are growing. We have grown from the prior year, as to be expected. A lot of the pent-up demand that we've seen from being pretty austere through the last 3 or 4 years comes out, and we just have the need to replace systems, to replace processes. There's just the demand on those resources constantly. So, and we're going to look at this in a minute when we look at the trends report over a longer period of time. And so it'll be an interesting. This is our fund balance projection right now. This is, again, based on our budget. If you recall, we budgeted use of fund balance. Right now we're projecting that we'll be able to recover about $7.2 million from our existing savings. And the likelihood or the possibility of recovering the balance so that we remain at our fund balance target is there. We haven't locked that in yet. There's a good likelihood that we'll be able to achieve that depending on some of the demands we have. It's hard to predict at this point. In our next quarterly presentation, we'll have a fund balance projection for the end of the year. And so, and usually we're pretty accurate in where we end up through that fund balance projection. So this is just this story is pretty remarkable. I just want to talk about this a second. One of the things that we were talking about yesterday in preparing for our Moody's presentation this week is the recovery that we've been able to make in the general fund balance over this short period of time. When we originally put a plan together to recover fund balance from the 2009 low, we thought it would take a much longer period of time than it has. And to be able to recover in this short a period of time is pretty remarkable. And a lot of that comes from the diligence of the department directors and the departments in identifying costs that they've been able to do without. And again, as we get into the trends report, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this and show some of the impacts of what that's been. So,
do we know how we compare when it comes to their fund balance to other counties?
Well, we know what the best practices are and what the standards are and what the suggestions are. As you recall, a year ago we went to what we call a risk-based fund balance policy, and that lets us examine Clark County and what Clark County's needs are. And so we've kind of, you know, we can compare to other counties, but they have different needs and they have different situations and circumstances. So I think the approach that we're taking now is much more applicable to what Clark County needs. And so making those comparisons, sure, we can make those, you know, use ratios, look at best practices, you know, nationwide, those sort of things. But I think the approach that we have taken is much more meaningful. So,
and I agree. I'm very thankful that we have a very conservative finance team and budget office that you the comfort zone is where we're safe, and really am thankful for that.
We in the quarterly, we want to also point out some of the other major funds. Although we spend a lot of time talking about general fund, there are some issues with other major funds that we like to point out, both positive and sometimes cautionary. Looking at the Department of Community Development, where there's a lot of activity right now, we have seen an uptick, as we mentioned earlier, in permits. We also are projecting the use of fee holiday or fee waivers that are committed from the general fund to be paid into the Community Development Department. The interesting aspect of this, and we're going to point that out in a second, a lot of the activity that's going through the Community Development Department right now is in the building activity, and a lot of that building activity is from single-family housing. And so up to this point, that has been able to cover the cost of that department until the second quarter of this year, and we'll show you in the report where it shows for the first time that department hasn't covered its cost for the quarter, which means that it's beginning to use some of that fund balance that has been built up over the last few years. Now, that's something that, you know, initially we expected. We've added staff in that area to meet the needs, and at some point we knew that we would begin to work into that backlog. However, again, from my perspective, it's something that we need to monitor constantly and begin to look at that as they start to use that fund balance that they've created and be able to make sure that we're protecting that fund balance and being able to provide the services that have been committed to with that fund balance. So,
related to that, Mark, we have several board times ago, board meetings ago, we were talking about a dash panel that would look at the fund balance for community development and other indicators. Is that still coming along? Is that on path, on track? Do you know what that balance is right now and how it has trended over long term?
I'm not quite sure if it's related just to our budget or if it's related to the budget for fee waivers and how we're doing.
Just the total fund balance.
I can tell you what the total fund balance is. The fund balance right now, the general ledger fund balance is about $4.6 million. However, there's commitments that have been made to that brings that up significantly higher. And so there is a significant amount of money available right now in the fund. Some of that's been committed to the replacement project and other things. So just to mention briefly, the road fund, you've just recently had the TIP presentations. They have still been able to maintain their fund balance. They have spent it down a little bit from the prior year, a couple million lower than it was in the prior year, so they are spending some of that down. And as you look through the TIP plan, the projects that they have committed to will use up the fund balance that's currently on the books. So in the health department, they have been very, again, austere in their spending. They've been able to maintain their fund balance, and there will be some adjustments to that in the next budget cycle that you'll be made aware of as we go through the health department. So go ahead, Commissioner. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the next slide we're going to do that. So, in the next slide, it's going to talk about, and these we kind of color code these based on a stoplight system. Green, you know, pretty positive. Yellow, cautionary, and red means we need to take some action. So, when we look at community development, there's a couple of things that I think we need to continue to monitor and are cautionary. The first one, right now the development service side of things or the land use review side of things, the activity is still fairly low. Therefore, the commitment that we've made from the general fund to pay for that isn't exceeding what we've already budgeted. However, as we see this area start to pick up and activity to improve in this area, that general fund commitment will be larger and larger. And so, again, it's just up here as a caution. We need to watch that because if it starts to exceed what we've already committed from the general fund, then we will have to commit additional revenues from the general fund to help bolster this area. So the second bullet under community development that we need to continue to watch, in the second quarter is the first time in several years that the building activity, the expenses related to the building activity, exceeded the revenue they're bringing in. So up to this point, the permit revenue from single-family housing has been able to cover the full cost of the building activity quarter by quarter and year by year. Second quarter, it didn't do that. Now in the third quarter, as we see the summer building season improve, I would expect hopefully that will even out a little bit more, but then as we go into the winter cycle, we'll probably drop back down again. So I know that I've been working with Marty and other members of the finance team to help him develop a fund balance policy for this fund so that we ensure that we have adequate funds to cover all these commitments that we've made, because we've made a significant amount of commitments in the building activity area. And that fund balance policy, as it's developed, has to be able to pay for what's there. So, okay. At the event center, again, this has been a good news story. We just had a report from the fair. The fair had a very good season this year. The 10-day fair has always been profitable. It's helped to subsidize some of the other activities that go on at the fair, the event center itself, the horse arena, and some of the other things. To add to the good news, I think, with the profitable fair is this year, in the second quarter of the year, usually the fund itself operates at a deficit because of all the commitments that are made for the 10-day fair. This year, at the end of the second quarter, they still had a positive fund balance. So there's a lot of work being done. There's been money that's been committed to the fair on an annual basis. Some of that we may not have to use as much as we had committed in the past. So this is a good news. There's things happening out there right now that will help hopefully relieve some of the pressure on the general fund commitments. So the reserve fund, which is the debt piece of the exhibit hall, we've put the exhibit hall in the capital facilities plan, which allows us to use REIT funds. We haven't had to use REIT funds yet to pay for that. The income coming in has been sufficient to cover the debt service. However, this year, in the projection, and again, we don't know until all the revenues come in that are helping to pay for this, there's a projection that a small amount of REIT may be necessary in 2014, which would be the first time that we've used REIT to pay for this. We'll see as we go throughout the year, as revenues come in, and we know what our expenses are. It's debt payment. So the REIT funds, they have been coming in. They've recovered quicker than we expected. However, we're starting to see a leveling now. As you go through the report in detail, you'll see that the REIT funds, the growth is beginning to slow. A lot of that has to do with the housing sales as they begin to drop off. Another indicator of REIT funds is our recording. In our recording department, the number of documents recorded has dropped off dramatically this year. So do we expect the revenues in the REIT revenues to go backwards? I don't think they'll go backwards, but I think we'll just have to be careful in how we project those going forward. We had hoped at some point to be able to use REIT for some of the things we had in the past, for either parks construction or economic development. However, I don't know if that's going to happen as soon as we had hoped. We're using REIT funds now to cover debt. I don't expect that to change. We should be able to cover our debt. However, you know, peeling some of that off for some of these other things right now, I don't know when that's going to happen. It probably won't happen as soon as I had thought originally. So, again, we're looking at it. We're looking at the trend. It's slowing. We need to be cautious in how we commit those funds. So, Department of Community Services, we still have a commitment for this year, and again, as we go into the next budget cycle, some of these things will be rediscussed, whether we commit general fund funds for some of the same community services items. Clean Water Fund, again, this is a green. The Board of Commissioners has addressed the clean water fee shortfall. We've passed a amended fee structure, which will help us going forward. That should not impact, at least at this point, the demands on general fund dollars. However, the yellow right below it, we need to monitor it. Okay, anytime you start into a program with changes like this, we need to monitor it and make sure the results of what we intend to happen is actually happening. And I know that next year we'll be coming back and looking at this structure to see if it's creating the results that we hope it would. And the only item that we have up here in red currently is our essential support services, our facilities. We've had significant demand on facilities for resources. And in this budget cycle, we're still running at a deficit. We have to put a plan together to fix that. At the end of the year, when a fund is reported with a deficit balance and it goes through the audit process, we're always asked the questions, what is your plan? How do you intend to address this issue? And this is one area that we brought up last quarter. We really haven't addressed yet. We're bringing it back to you again. So this is an area that we have to look at and have a plan in place to make this fund whole. So essential support services, facilities. Mark, you're probably familiar. It covers utilities for the buildings. It covers maintenance. It covers
electricians, plumbers,
utilities.
All utilities, maintain parks.
Major maintenance projects. Major maintenance. Yeah. And we do. We have fees that we charge. Everyone contributes. If you're part of the building, you have M&O. There's a lot of mechanisms to fund this right now. We'll just need to sit down and figure out why we're not current. Yeah. Maybe they're not high enough. So that's something that hopefully in the third quarter we can come back with that plan in place. I know by the end of the year we have to have something in place to address the issue because. We can only explain to the auditor so many times. We'll get a plan. We'll put a plan in place. And this is the second year now that we've closed the fund with a fairly significant negative fund balance. So, okay. So summary again, proceeding with caution. There's a lot of indicators that say that things are improving. That things are getting better. We're continuing forward on our expenditure side to the credit of the departments throughout the county being very diligent in how they spend the money. One of the things that we talked about last quarter in looking at sales tax policy, and I'll bring this back to you at the end of the third quarter, how are we going to smooth the cyclical nature of our retail sales with construction. When we get to a certain point, can we bank those and use those to smooth out times when our construction drops off? And I'll have that available to you at the end of the and during our third quarter presentation. The rest of these items, you've heard a lot of this before. You know, proceeding with caution, going into our next budget cycle, we're optimistic we can have an adequate fund balance going in and improve our budgeting practices of not using fund balance to balance our budget. It'll be difficult. We have a lot of demands right now, and it seems like every week or so, you know, there's a new demand. For example, when we go out and put our plan together to make the facilities fund whole, that money has to come from somewhere. And we have to address those issues. So, any questions about the quarterly report? I agree. All right. Then we're going to move into a different report that we do, called the trends report, and we do this. This report annually, and this is just briefly what the trends report is. It gives us an update on how Clark County is doing in complying with its financial policies. We have 17 written financial policies that we're asked to follow here at the county. Sometimes we do a better job than others in complying with those, and this just gives you a little update. It gives you a little brief description of the policy and how we're doing in conjunction with that policy. The other thing that it does, if you're familiar with the quarterly report, at the end of the quarterly report, we have some five-year statistics that we like to show, and it kind of gives you an idea of trends in certain areas. Well, the trend report actually extends that even to a longer period. They have different measures, but it shows you a 10-year period. And so it can give you a visual picture of where we're at by looking at those graphs. Just a quick summary of the 29 measures that we have. Five of those trends improved in this report. Four were lower, so we kind of offset our improvement. And then 20 of them remain the same. And so you can get a picture of, you know, what direction the county's moving in as a whole. And I pulled out some selected trends to try and tell a story of some of the things that the trend report can tell you. And so let's go on to the next slide. Some of the trends that we report on, one of them is Clark County population growth. We talk a lot about growth. I know you're going through the growth management act right now and what that means to the county as we project population growth. In here, we look at a 10-year trend of where that's growing, and it's broken down by incorporated and unincorporated areas. So you can see, you know, how the county is doing in the unincorporated areas as well as in the cities. We look at several different measures of revenue per capita, and the reason why we look at revenue per capita is so that we try and make the determination that we're here to serve the citizens. And as our revenue per capita improves or declines, it impacts our ability to serve those citizens. And so we've included several different measures in revenue per capita. And as we go through this, you're going to see a declining trend in every one of those revenues per capita. Our response to that has been we have decreased our expenditures per capita. As you know, at the county, we have to balance our budget. We can't print money. We can use, to some extent, fund balance, but again, that's part of our plan when we use fund balance. But we have to balance our budget. We can't spend more money than what we have. And so our response to declining revenue per capita has been to decrease our expenditures per capita, which means in some areas we've eliminated services or we've revised how we provide those services. And most of that decrease in expenditures has come from our employees per capita. You'll see a 10-year trend where we've decreased almost 20% in our employees per capita over the last 10 years. So,
you mentioned that in some areas we've cut services. What areas have we cut services?
We've, for example, in our health department, we've changed how we deliver services. At one point, we operated the clinic here in the health center, and now we contract that out. We've spun off how we do our regional support network for mental health services. So that's separate now. So that's no longer a county expenditure.
Okay, I understand county expenditures because I sit on the RSN board. It's very, very healthy. In fact, we've got more money there than we can spend because we don't have the freedom to spend it the way it should be, provide service. But I'm curious, when it comes to the services that Clark County we provide, where have we cut services?
Well, again, those services used to be included under the county umbrella.
Right, but now that they're not.
Now they're spun off.
So now that we have county umbrella, what have we cut within that umbrella? Services.
Those would be two examples.
Spun off those services. So within,
but we're no longer,
in other words,
we're not providing.
What
I'm
we
not
have
saying,
within our domain still, we haven't. There's no identified service cuts. We've just simply talked about what has been spun off to the RSN and what's been on the health department. Even though we've added 8 deputies this year, so we got a ways to go. So long term trend. You're speaking of a very long term trend. So absolutely, that loss in deputies over a long term trend was not good, and I'm glad we're on the path to for that.
Okay. So I'm just going to go through these, and these are extracted from the report, some of these graphs that I'm going to show you. For example, here's the graph that you'll see of the trends in population. And the graph is just a piece of this trend. There's narrative involved, and there's analysis that goes along with it. So this is just an example of the information that's available. So here's the county's 10-year trend in population growth. And the next, here's our operating revenues per capita.
Can I have a minute, please?
Sure.
Just want to make sure I comprehend. We separate out between
cities is the blue line, and unincorporated Clark County is the red line.
That's population. Okay. Is that the census change there? The downward step.
Well, actually, during the recession, we lost population. If you look at the trend. in the unincorporated areas, we decreased in population. So that was right at the height of the recession. So yeah. Okay. Here's our operating revenues per capita, and we have several revenue measures per capita, and again, it's a downward trend, and it has been since 2004. It's not a new phenomenon. We're maybe declining a little bit more rapidly over the last 3 or 4 years, but the trend has been downward, and it's across all of our revenues. So we're basically trying to maintain and do the same services that we've provided with less revenue per capita. So. And you go to the next one. And here's our response. This is our government expenditures per capita adjusted for our consumer price index. So our response has been, we are not going to deficit spend. We are not going to borrow for operations. We are going to be able to try and meet those same service levels with the resources we have available. So and some of this is, you know, I think what you're alluding to, we've become more efficient in certain areas. We've been be able to use technology maybe to help provide better services per employee. And I'm not saying that we're, this is a bad thing. I think what this tells us that we, in de facto, have been on a 10-year lean process. You know, it hasn't been, you know, I know we've talked about this over the last year or two that we've been implementing lean principles, but we've really been doing this now, if you look at the graphs, for 10 years. We've become more efficient, and we've worked to maintain service levels with fewer employees.
Which is actually good news. So we look at this, the perspective inside this building. I'm so aware of our perspective being kind of a bubble here. When we look at from the outside in, they don't use terms of operating revenue per capita. They use taxes per citizen. And
we have one of those too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's going down as well.
Okay. So the fact that we've been able to continue to provide good services and become more efficient and find smarter ways to lower our costs and still deliver excellent service, and yet our taxes per citizen has gone down, from the community's point of view, from the citizens' point of view, that's very good news. That says we are becoming more competitive, and the lower cost of living prevails here because of the success of this team. I mean, the whole team that delivers services.
And I would agree with that. In fact, and you'll see in here, again, in the detail, our taxes per citizen, per capita, same thing, have declined 20% in 10 years when you adjust them for the consumer price index. And that's significant. I think that the fact that the county's been able to maintain the levels of services that it has with that kind of a decline is, I think it's pretty amazing. However, the one caveat that I would have, at some point, if we see a deterioration in service levels, or as Mark mentioned, with our sheriff's office, we have to be cognizant of the fact that if we get to the point where we can't provide mandated services with that, then we have to look for other measures. We can't always face a declining line and continue to find efficiencies or change how we're going to do our service delivery. At some point, there's just diminishing returns in that, and we'll have to address those issues. So,
true. Although the
Commissioner, sure, he had a comment.
Company, don't down, or you go to Costco, or you go into the place where there ends up the amount of private license plates that are set in those parking lots, which is 40-50% of them maybe are working license plates. They stop on their way to buy their gas over there, but the gas is cheaper supposedly. So it's a matter of how we go about trying to create the jobs that they have. And I've been trying to work to work, get more jobs in the side of the river to where we can get more income. Not depend on state highway funds all the time or county highway funds in order to make the job. There's got to be some industrial planning that will go. And hopefully, as you said, in the right direction with the 600-acre situation that we're looking at now. But you cannot spend your way out of this. There's a certain point to where you're going to fight the dust.
Right. And it's really evident, again, in the trends report, there's a trend that we look at for medium household income. And although it's a phenomenon across the U.S. and across the state of Washington that household incomes are declining, it's been more dramatic in Clark County. Our medium household income has been declining for exactly the same reasons you had. The jobs that were supporting those households aren't available. And maybe they're not available in Portland either. I don't know. But that's a factor when you look at how we're going to be able to continue to fund county government. How do we do that with this declining medium household income? And I'm not an economist, and I don't pretend to be one. We have economists back in the back of the room there. But I know that you can't continue to squeeze the turnip too long. Otherwise, you won't get anything out of it. So.
And you had a very good saying there. We can't spend our way out of a financial deficit. However, we can grow different kind of turnips. We can, rather than grow, and we are growing, rather than grow residential and become more of a bedroom community for Portland, where it's a, you've got a property tax base that continually has to increase, or a property tax rate that needs to increase, we can grow business, and those businesses then will provide that kind of growth. That kind of, those are new turnips that yield more than they consume, and that's why the shift from the bedroom community to business welcoming, where we're wearing our Jobs pins, we're doing everything we can to make Clark County the most business-friendly community on the West Coast. That growth of revenue, that generation of new wealth, can, and hopefully, we'll see how the experiment plays out, meet that need for the extra revenue. So I'm looking forward to seeing that experiment and hopefully become less of a funding source for Portland, that $100 million a year that drains out of this community every year, and keep that here so we have more employers here.
I agree. I think that, we will need to change in how we do things here, and that's exactly right. It is a long-term strategy. It takes sometimes patience, sometimes perseverance, and certainly some consistency. And I know we've seen some of those plans starting to come up now, but it'll take a lot of perseverance in making sure that those plans come to fruition. And we've seen some of that. If you look at how Camas has developed their tax base, it was a long time in developing, but they've held to those plans that they put together, and it's paid off for them. So that's right, exactly.
But also, we want to make sure that we prime the pump, get more water coming.
So again, we talked about this, employees per capita. Basically, you've heard the phrase, doing more with less. Well, we're actually doing probably less with less. That's just because we don't have the headcount available to do everything that we were doing before. So, and when you contrast some of these different measures together, this is looking at the population growth in the blue line versus the general fund revenues per capita in the red line. And so at some point, this will impact our service delivery. We may not be there yet, but at some point down the road, we will have to address the issue of what services and what level of services we're going to provide. As population continues to grow, population growth alone won't add the revenues that we need to function. So,
However, business can.
Business can. We haven't got there yet, though, Commissioner.
Why we're striving to meet that challenge and change course and to end up with a strategy that will put everything we can to maximize that potential.
Any other questions on this report? Again, we only present this report once a year. It does have a lot of information. If you'd like to, I'd be happy to walk you through it.
I assume that in this book here that there are many more long-term trends that would help us be able to see perspective-wise, where are we with respect to our last 10-year or 20-year history on a number of these categories?
And actually, what we intend to do is this trend report, it lists the trend, but what we're trying to do is understand, you know, interpret those, what it means, and put the story together of how this information can help us make decisions down the road, help us make better economic decisions, better investment for county resources. Where do we need to focus our resources for those dollars that we have available now? And a lot of that information is provided in more detail in the report. So,
and that's a really good point. In fact, you call this a trend report? No,
that's the quarterly. It looks a lot like that.
Okay, so you have a trend report. Okay, because to me, the numbers by themselves mean almost nothing.
Right.
When you're just looking at numbers, a snapshot, an instant glance at a dash panel doesn't tell you very much. It doesn't tell you that you're either improving or you're in trouble for the future. So those trends are there. That's where our intelligence comes from. That's what guides our policy. So we can see predict the future based on the direction that we've come from in the past. Both of these reports, the financial report and the trends report, are they on our county's website? Okay. Okay.
We'll post them immediately following our...
Great. And we want to make sure that when on the grid that we provide that transparency. This, by the way, the finance team has done so well. And Mark, you've had such a first-hand leadership role in providing that transparency and putting the checkbook online and putting these financial indicators and reports online. All that accountability and transparency. That's great. We're living with that kind of transparency now, and we're kind of used to it. But it's wonderful. So these published reports that just show everything. We're here. Here's where we came from, and here's where we're at, and we can have a pretty good guess where we're going. These are very important. So I'm very much looking forward to. I haven't glanced into them. Haven't seen the first publication yet. But not only us, but our citizens to see where are we, where are we going, where have we come from.
One of the things I would like to see you do, if you can, if we need to go to your employment section up there and maybe go to David Bailey with the Unemployment Security Office.
Scott?
And pull out the people that live here that are working over in Oregon, but also maybe put a section in there that shows the cities, because the cities are part of the counties. So if you could show Battleground how many jobs that they have, how many Vancouver has, how many Camas or Shugaldem, so that you could compare those numbers. If you could do that, I think that would be of interest to a lot of the business people in this community to show them that they need to do a better job of.
We'll see what information is available. We in our office, we don't have the resources to get that, or even
Scott.
Yeah. And we do work with him. I know that we're in contact with him as well as the budget office, in getting whatever information we can. So.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay. Anything else? Hold that for.
No.
All right. Any more questions for us on either report? We're happy at any time as you read through these. If you have questions, to schedule time with us, and we'll come up and give you more information. Or
thank you. I'm looking forward to what's inside these two publications and seeing them online. Well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
These are the actual